Hey, welcome to the Upland Nation podcast. My name is Scott Linden. I'm your host. I am so glad you could join me today. Interesting discussion coming up very soon. Addison Edmonds, the founder, the creator, the legend behind Gunner Kennels. Why does somebody need a $500 kennel? Well, that and other things, including a lot of dog training advice from a guy who's been in that world, well, his entire adult life. So stick around for that. In the meanwhile, we'll be covering all sorts of other things too. More dog training for me, some insights in that world, some places to go that I've personally visited in the last week, and also your thoughts, comments, and other ideas as we delve into the wacky, wonderful world of bird hunting and bird dogs right here on the Upland Nation podcast. We're outfitted by Cabela's, of course, and appreciate their support as well as that of all the other sponsors who give us the time and resources to bring you this podcast. I've been making up for some lost time in my work with Flick in the field because I've been fishing. And that, of course, led to scouting for hunting. I'll talk more about the hunting side of things later on in the podcast in our This Land Is Your Land segment, so stay tuned for some advice on where to go. It costs you nothing but boot leather and a little bit of fuel in Idaho. I was fishing down in the Sun Valley, Haley, Ketchum, Peekaboo area, including the legendary stream made famous by Ernest Hemingway, Silver Creek. It is probably the most technical fishing I've ever done. Been there a few times, but it's been a long time since I was there last, but let me suffice it to say that I got lucky this time around, hit the trico hatch just right, and what an epic morning it was. Definitely the best Silver Creek day I've ever had, maybe one of the best fishing days I've ever had, period. And what a beautiful place. If you're ever in the Peekaboo, Sun Valley, Idaho area, at least go and take a look at Silver Creek. Saw moose and her calf. That might have been the second highest highlight of the trip, but all sorts of great things to do and see in that area, including some new friends and lots of interesting sights, to say the least. Getting all my trips nailed down. In fact, that was one of the side benefits of this this visit out there, was looking at some of the bird hunting trips I'm going to do this fall, including central and eastern Idaho. But again, I'll bore you with that later in the podcast. How about yourself? Are you laying your plans? Have you got them finalized? I'm a little concerned. I have friends in various aspects of various governments around the United States, and some of them are making noise about fishing, about restrictions on non-resident hunters. Depending on how this whole virus thing goes, we may see that happen. It's happened in a few states already. In the earlier seasons, turkey season, for example, even a fishing season or two was threatened for a while, but I'll keep you posted if anything happens in that regard. And if it happens between now and the podcast, well, I will make sure you hear about it on the Facebook pages, both the Wing Shooting USA Facebook page and the Upland Nation Facebook page. So stay in tune, stay in touch, and if you will, please give us a like on one or the other, or actually follow them, because sponsors like to see that, and so do I. It gives me a chance to talk with you more and more often. All right, so we got a great guest coming up all about kenneling dogs and training dogs and safety and all the things that are important to you and me, with a little bit of a bent toward retrievers, but most of us expect all of our versatile dogs to retrieve, so stick around for that. First off, let me remind you that Sage and Breaker Gun Care products are crafted at the highest caliber. Free shipping, always. Get the catalog, sign up for the mailing list. You'll get advanced notice on all the new products coming down the line. More and more in the months to come. And then at Dogtra.com, you can take a look at the TNB dual collar system, which I use every day on Flick. Those folks know what they're doing when it comes to dog training and collars associated with that. So learn more at Dogtra.com. Alrighty then, from way over in Nashville, Tennessee, my third favorite city, Addison Edmonds joins us. He's the founder of Gunner Kennels, gunnerkennels.com, or gunner.com, actually, I take it back. Addison, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I can't complain. It's almost hunting season. In fact, some people are already out poking around in Alaska, so I'm a little jealous, but you too, I bet.
Yep. I was kind of a crazy story. I've been getting Gunner back in shape this summer, and on Wednesday of last week, he just collapsed. Both his front shoulders and his back legs just stopped working, and I actually I rushed him up to or down to Mississippi State's veterinary program. I got there at like 3:30 in the morning, and the two outcomes were either cancer or herniated disc in his neck. And we got an MRI the next day, and he had surgery the next day. It was a herniated disc, and so he's actually down there in Starkville, Mississippi right now in rehab. And they told me that our season together is probably not going to happen, so I think that he might be retired now. But last season was a phenomenal season. We started up in Canada and ended with a bang in Kentucky, and he had a great season. Yeah, it's been a weird time. The last week I've kind of set in that he's probably not going to be hunting this year, but we still have him, and he'll stick around and watch from the side, I guess.
Well, all you can do is debrief him or bring him along for the ride, and I'm really sorry to hear that. I know how that can affect not just your hunting season, but the whole dynamic in the family. And I think you have another dog or two in reserve, if nothing else, but good luck. And I hope he recovers as well as he can. Any other plans in that area of, dogs?
Yeah. So I bred Gunner and kept one of his pups, and, let's see, I was hunting both of them 2 years ago together at a dove hunt, and they started fighting. Gunner can be aggressive towards other males. They started fighting, and I kind of decided I can't really have them around together and feared that they might accidentally bite one of the kids or something. And so we gave him back to the female that we bred Gunner with, and they've kept him. So I might try to borrow him on a couple hunts, but no, my season's kind of – it's kind of crazy. I don't have too many hunts planned in terms of business hunts, but I should open up for some personal hunts and fun hunts. So just kind of playing it by ear.
Well, good luck on that. And glad last season was such a good one. What would you think might have been the highlight last season? It sounds like you covered, as much mileage as a guy who makes a TV show about bird hunting would cover.
Yeah, we had some great hunts. I went up in Saskatchewan, and he did phenomenal. We got a quick 8-man limit of mallards, and he did really good. And then we got into some geese, and he did really good. And then I'd say the other highlights were, and I called my wife after that hunt, that, and I told her, I said, I'm happy to retire him. I mean, that I don't think we could end in a better, you know, situation with him. But then we went down to Louisiana and hunted at Honey Break, and had a big time, we limited out every hunt, and he did phenomenal. And he was at that stage, you know, I don't even put a collar on him, just let him do his thing, kind of an old warrior. And then on the last day of the season, we went up to Kentucky, and I don't think Gunner's ever retrieved a black duck to my memory. And the last bird to finish out a 6-man limit, we shot a black duck, and I saved it. I'm probably going to get it mounted because it might be his last duck he ever retrieved. But I mean, it was all really good hunts. From what I heard from other people, were, you know, seasons were iffy, and everyone we went on was really good. None of them were slow, so it was a great season.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's fantastic. And you know, immediately I'm thinking, okay, well, nobody will ever forget that dog, and he will recover. I'm crossing my fingers already. But nobody I know has actually named their company after their dog. Tell me how important it was to him, or to you, I guess, to do something like that, and why you did it.
Yeah. So when I first came up with the idea to make the best plastic travel crate in the world, in my head, I started formulating, you know, the features and the different parts that, you know, how I wanted the crate to be. And I always just called it Gunner Kennels, knowing that I'll come up with a better name later. And I, finally, when it came time to have a logo and figure out the name, I thought, well, I really did this for my dog Gunner. I wanted to make him a better kennel. You know, I think it's kind of fitting to call it Gunner Kennels. And we made the logo from a picture of him. And I think it's special that, you know, not everybody might know that we've named it after, you know, my dog Gunner, but it's kind of a unique way to pay homage to what a phenomenal dog he is, and to try to get, you know, it, in my mind, it's just cool to think that people around the country and world have bought a product with my dog's name on it. So I'm really glad that I kind of stuck with, yeah, we're going to name it Gunner Kennels, because at the time it was a placeholder, and I figured I'd come up with something better, and I just never did.
I love it. And, you know, a lot of us would name something like something after our dog if we could. Unfortunately, it's usually not possible for most of us. But tell me, just one more thing about that dog of yours. Obviously, he's touched your heart in many ways, and he's been with you a long time. I think maybe you were in college when you got him, weren't you?
Yep. I think I was a junior in college, so he's about to be 12 years old.
What is it about him that just makes him such a special bird dog?
Well, so I had never trained a hunting dog before. I'd been around hunting dogs, but I'd never trained one. And, you know, I was a novice at best. I've read a couple of books and watched a couple shows on it. But I think it was just so easy to train him with his drive. And we really early on clicked on if he did something that I wanted him to do, I'd give him a retrieve. And if he didn't, I wouldn't give him a retrieve. And he just got it. And I mean, he was just such a well-behaved and well-trained dog through my mistakes. You know, I mean, I finally realized he picked up on if I cast him back with my right hand, he turns to that angle. And if I cast him back with my left, he turns to that angle. And that was all by accident. But I mean, he picked up stuff that I probably didn't even realize he was picking up. So I think it's just that drive, and we hunted a lot together, and we worked together really well. And he was also a really, you know, hunting dogs for me a few, you know, a couple dozen days a year, but they're family dogs after that. And he's just a good all around, you know, most labs are just great family dogs also. So just a special dog.
I love it, and especially the family dog thing. We all are kind of in the same boat on that, at least most of the folks I talk with are. Tell me, let's get some of the details about Gunner Kennels. Tell us a little bit about the what you're offering these days and anything new coming down the pike.
Yeah, so currently we sell a small, medium, intermediate, and large size dog crate. We sell accessories for that crate. They come in two different colors. We were originally Gunner Kennels. We're going to be kind of transforming into Gunner as we get outside of just kennel products. So we're about to release a food crate is what we're calling it. It's a high-end dog food container, kind of same recipe of took everything that I really didn't like about all of the dog food containers out there and tried to fix it, you know, basically try to fix all of the issues tenfold and make a, you know, best in class dog food container. We're working on a lot of other products for hunting dogs and just dogs in general. I really want to be known. I think that we started off on the right foot where, you know, the quality of our product really stands out, and we want to take that leverage and turn it into, you know, you want to buy a product for your dog. If it's a Gunner product, it's the best out there. So we can offer, you know, the best possible products for all things dog is where I aim to take it and what we're working on right now.
Well, you know, I'm impressed with the write-up, at least. I haven't tested one yet, but your crate fan seems to check all those boxes. That's for sure. You know, most of them are so wimpy, it's not even worth the bother, but yours seems to have maybe a turbocharger in there or something. You learn these things the hard way, or are you just sitting around with a pencil and paper and scratching down ideas?
the hard way. I mean, everything that I'm working on right now is from real world frustrations with products that I use, and there's nothing that is built the way that I want it to be built. So I started working on that dog food container a couple years ago because I just was fed up with the container that I was using, and then just the use case for it. I'd take it from my garage to my truck to go on a hunt, and it wasn't easy to carry. Water would get in it when it rained and ruin the food, and just a lot of different features that I figured somebody will probably want what I want, just like how when I created the kennel, I was just figuring somebody would also appreciate the quality that I wanted to put into a dog crate.
You know, years ago, I was impressed, even before we started working together, I was impressed with the videos on your website about, demonstrating pretty graphically how superior the engineering is of your kennels. Tell us a little bit about how that works. I don't think a lot of people have been taken to school yet on the difference between a double-walled kennel, a single-walled kennel, and all of the engineering aspects of that. Can you sum it up somehow, Addison?
Yeah. So when I came up with the idea, I knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted to be the best kennel possible, and that meant a lot of things. Number one, the safest. Number two, the best, the most utilitarian features. And three, just best looking. And wrote down a plan of I want to have the best customer service and the best employees and kind of the best company we can possibly make it. And, you know, it took me about a year and a half to design the kennel with an engineering firm from a rotational molding company. I saw Yeti coolers and I thought, okay, I want to do what they did to an ice chest to a dog crate. And it turns out that a rotationally molded plastic is not brittle like all the other plastic kennels at the time were injection molded and they're brittle. So having that double wall kind of makes an inside barrier for the dog and an outside barrier for, you know, if you were to get in a wreck. And it turned out to be a lot stronger than we anticipated. I mean, when we first started doing tests, I took it to a independent research firm and I said, I want y'all to crush this kennel. I want to figure out how much weight it can take. And it broke their machine three times. So they finally said, we're not going to do it anymore. It keeps breaking the machine at, I think, 4,000 pounds. And so we still don't really know how much weight it can take. And some of those videos were just, you know, some of them were independent third party research firm tests, and some of them were what I just kind of call redneck tests, where I was like, well, let's throw it off this cliff and see how it does, and let's shoot it with a shotgun and see how it does. And they're all just kind of, well, this might be cool if it would hold up to this. But that's probably as fast as I can sum it all up.
You're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, the host, and that is Addison Edmonds, the founder of Gunner Kennels. Learn more about them at gunner.com. Seems like every time I check in over there, there's something new somewhere on the site, whether it's, like I said, the crate fan or a different color, things like that. What keeps you going? What fuels the fire for you, Addison, to just keep innovating?
I think it's just I just see the pet product space as being filled with a lot of junk. I went down to and this is kind of outside of the hunting market, but I went down to it's called the Global Pet Conference in Orlando, I believe, a couple years ago. And every product out there, every hard good for dogs just seemed like, it just felt greedy. It was just like stuff made for really, really cheap. They knew their dogs were going to tear it up and they're going to sell them another one. And I kind of took the thought process of there's no best of the best out there. And so I'm really kind of running down my list of what I want personally for products for my dogs. And I've got a bunch of ideas and I'm working on a bunch of products and I'm not really going to be satisfied until I can get them out in the world. And then also, you know, once we have real world experience with our customers with them, make better versions of them. We're currently working on making a better version of a lot of our accessories, including that fan and just the kennel in general. I'm never really satisfied with the quality of new products and current products. And I just want to keep, I think it's just wanting to have the reputation of the best possible products.
As opposed to the opposite end of the spectrum, where, like you said, there are so many other Me Too products. Hey, you know, this whole podcast is supposed to be about bird dogs and bird hunting and dog training in particular right about now. So let's get into that a little bit. You mentioned off mic a while back that, you know, this is stuff that you've kind of learned, flying by the seat of your pants. And many of us have done the same thing, whether we've read a book or two or watched the videos or anything else. But if you had to nail it down to, maybe the top two or three things that are important to a dog trainer, and granted, you've got a kind of a retrieving emphasis there, but all that stuff works for us too. We expect all of our dogs to retrieve. Well, most of us do. What are the number two or three things that the three or four things maybe that are important to you as a bird hunter / dog trainer?
Yeah, the one thing that really stands out, and this really rang true, getting into I guess about this time last year, getting ready for the upcoming season, and I was really eager to get Gunner in really good shape. He's always been in pretty good shape, but I'd start running him every afternoon, and just getting him, you know, making sure I'm watching what I'm feeding him. Everybody that meets him thinks he's like a 3 or 4 year old dog because he's always in such good shape. And he keeps he's pretty much stayed at 65 pounds his whole life. And to me, it's getting them in shape now so that when hunting season starts, you know, you might not have as much time to run your dog. And, you know, speaking from my experience just recently of having an older dog, I think that's one of the most important things is trying to keep that weight off of them and keep them in shape just for the longevity of the dog. And that way, you know, if you go hunt teal or dove in the early season when it's hot, you know, you really are helping yourself against the chances of the dog overheating and also just, I mean, watching your dog and knowing your dog about how they act. And I have had Gunner overheat. I've had him have hypothermia duck hunting one morning. So it's watching your dog and realizing, you know, when they're kind of at their limits. But that number one thing to me is just getting him in shape and keeping him in shape. And the way I did it was we had to move out of our house to get some work done on it last year. We moved into a house on a golf course. And so every night after we'd get the kids down, I'd get on the golf cart and run Gunner all throughout the golf course. And I mean, doing that daily, just, you know, a mile or two or three a night, really prepared him for those mornings in Canada where it was a lot of birds really quick and a lot of action. And then for 3 days straight, you know, having the being in shape enough and stamina enough to be able to withhold to be able to continue to retrieve and not, you know, no go. I've never had him no go on a bird, but I think a lot of that comes from when it's way too cold as well. But just being in shape is the kind of the number one thing that stands out, you know, with retrieves with him. He's such a high drive dog. I would almost limit the retrieves. I wouldn't, especially being an older dog, I wasn't, you know, as inclined to sit there and do retrieves, but I'd work on, you know, do the T drill and just kind of tighten up what kind of the core, things that I wanted him to keep in mind. But he's, once he learns that stuff, I haven't seen him forget it. So I wasn't working like technically as much, but I really just wanted to put an emphasis on getting him and keeping him in shape.
Well, there's number one on the list. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to relax and come up with number two, three, and maybe even number four in that world. Plus, also Addison Edmonds of Gunner Kennels, start thinking about the middle of the season and the things that our dogs do that, you know, we would call, you know, going off the rails, and what we might do after that. You've been around, you've been in the blind with some of the real pros. So take a break, ponder those things as I pay the bills around here, and we will be back with Addison Edmonds and Gunner Kennels in just a moment. The rest of you, don't go nowhere, because I'm going to talk about some of the things that are important to your dog and you, including Dr. Tim's Performance Dog Food. Learn more at drtims.com. That's where you can get a 30% discount on your first order. Use the code UPLANDNATION. The thing I like about Dr. Tim is the guy knows dog performance and how to achieve it. He formulates all of his own dog food mixes, and supervises them very carefully. They're natural, they're high quality, and you can get them delivered right to your door, straight from Dr. Tim's own kitchen, if you will. Online purchase and delivery is as simple as all those other services that are, well, let's just call them a little less reliable these days. Learn more at drtims.com and get that 30% discount on your first order. And if you heard that message, it's because your ears haven't been shot out yet. Yeah, what I mean is you're not going deaf because you're not wearing hearing protection. I can't do much about my throat today, but I can sure do something about my hearing, and I do it with ESP, Electronic Shooters Protection. Learn more at espamerica.com. You can get fitted locally. Go to the dealer locator page, type in your address. They'll line you up with somebody right in your town who will do all the custom fitting. And the custom fitting is critical to good ear protection because you want the whole ear covered in one way or more so that you have wall-to-wall protection for your eardrums and all the other little moving parts in there. Okay, well, we've been talking dog training. We're going to talk more about dog training right now. So if Addison Edmonds is back from Gunner Kennels, we'll carry on the discussion right here at the Upland Nation podcast. Did I put you to sleep yet?
Nope. Still here.
That's fantastic. So let's carry on the discussion. Your assignment before the break was think about a couple more things that we can do preseason, and then we'll get into the mid-season stuff. With Gunner and all the folks that you've hunted with, I would imagine you get to hunt with some pretty high-quality dogs and dog trainers. What have you learned from all of them?
That's a good question. I'd usually try, if I'm hunting nowadays, I really try to take my dog Gunner. And if I can't take him, you know, it's for a good reason, whether it's a guy that, you know, that's got just a phenomenal dog that is a warrior and just want to see how these other dogs are. And, you know, with my experience, Gunner's in the last few years, it's kind of gotten where, you know, if it's slow and not many birds are working, he'll start to whine a little bit, and it's, and I'll warn whoever I'm hunting with, you know, if that bothers you and if it is slow, we don't have to take them. But watching these other dogs and how they honor their handlers is pretty cool to watch, just different dogs in different scenarios. You know, I kind of got used to just hunting out of – I really haven't hunted out of a boat too much with Gunner. But when I get to hunt in a different situation and watch dogs that are – kind of versatile, and they can, you know, they can go from a four-wheeler to a boat to the blind, and just, you wouldn't even know they're there until somebody shoots a bird. Fortunately, Gunner is kind of the opposite, where you'll know he's there because he's looking up at the sky and he just wants to retrieve. But that's been, I guess, kind of watching how other guides and handlers will work their dog. It's been impressive, but honestly, most of the time I try to bring him if I can, so I don't get a chance to pick up too much on what other handlers are doing.
Well, when you were hunting, let's just say last season, which you consider a stellar season, are there certain things that you found yourself doing most of the time in the blind to kind of manage him?
Yes, I'm trying to think. You know, I just make sure ahead of time, wherever we were hunting, that I had a good spot for him, to you know, a dog hide or something. And he, you know, actually in Canada, we were hunting out of layout blinds, and he had never hunted out of a dog hide, you know, specifically those little fabric crates, basically. And pretty quick, I realized he'd come up and heel on me. And I would just roll him over and put him in the blind with me, which is probably against some people's rules. But he hit out well, and he was right with me, so we both knew exactly when he was going to go get a retrieve. But, I mean, I would always make sure, you know, kind of getting into the more of that mid-season and late-season stuff, I would always make sure to bring an extra biscuit for him, whether, you know, the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, just something to make sure that he's not getting weak. I think I've even given him a Snickers at some point. I mean, I would just, which wasn't very well planned, but I would want to remember to bring some food for him, just, you know, if he's working really hard in the cold weather and in the water, just to try to keep some food in him. But yeah, I mean, that last season, I kind of knew ahead of time, because every year for the last 3 or 4 years, I'm thinking, okay, this could be his last season. And you know, he would surprise me every year. But last year, I rarely had a collar on him. I rarely, you know, if it wasn't too cold, I wouldn't have a vest. I just wanted to be really kind of a natural hunt, and really didn't try to over handle him. You know, I think I have noticed from other guys, not professional guides, but sometimes the most annoying thing is the handler sitting there yelling at the dog the whole time. And I just wanted to, you know, let both of us enjoy it and kind of take the pressure off. And he's done it so many times that I knew he knew what to do. The only time I'd kind of step in is if he couldn't find a bird, and I'd help direct him to the area that the bird fell. But yeah, I mean, it was a cool season where it was just like, the pressure's off. We're not trying to impress anybody. Let's just have fun. And he just did phenomenal. I mean, it was great.
I'm thinking of a hunt test where I learned that lesson. Thank goodness I learned it the day before the test, and it worked really well. The whole idea of conveying to the dog that this is a good time, we're here to have fun. You know, a lot of us take it way too seriously, and that, I think, flavors the entire hunt. And I've been there, I've done that, both on the fly fishing side and the bird hunting side. And sometimes it's the guide's fault, but usually it's us. We do have some sort of kind of what I'll loosely call performance anxiety, and like everything else, you know, from our end of the leash to the dog's end of the leash, it is communicated. There's no doubt about it. I'm laughing because I'm hurting. My lower back is already in pain, thanks to your describing what I remember introducing layout blinds to the duck hunting world on a TV show many years ago. And the one I got was about 2 inches too short for this guy. And by the end of the day, they had to roll me out and drag me back to the truck. And to this day, I'll never set foot or any other part of myself in one of those layout blinds, but they've come a long way. And what a brilliant idea. You know, yeah. You just touched, Addison, on a whole bunch of things that are really important to us, no matter what kind of dog we have. And those are the things that are kind of more, you know, deeper for a lot of us. I guess I'll call it psychology, performance psychology, or anything else. What have you learned from Gunner or from the other guys in that world, whether it's conditioning like you talked about, or anything else that can get a dog ready mentally?
Yeah, you know, for me, and this probably isn't going to help anybody, but I noticed if we go hunt 3 days in a row, he's going to be much more steady the second or the third day. He'd be wearing down a little bit, and he would just be more calm, still retrieve full blast. And so what I started to do before a hunt was I'd really make sure we'd exercise a lot, you know, a day or two before leading up to it, so that we could already kind of get that first morning antsiness out of the way, and he'd be a little bit more relaxed. That's just a real high drive, just from my experience. But trying to think of anything else, nothing comes to the top of my head.
I remember, and I'm working on this story right now, and this is the genesis for this whole discussion, was a piece I'm writing for a magazine about kind of mid-season tune-ups. And as a former musical performer, you know, I finally figured out that there's value in a dress rehearsal for a dog as well. And even to this day, when I have the chance, the first thing I do when I let my dog out of the crate is a quick run through of all the stuff that we might expect that day. Obviously, we can't turn him into the field and practice, if you will, but we can do all the obedience stuff, and we could do some of the other stuff, the performance oriented stuff, so that the dog has a mental framework that says this is work, not doggy daycare. Sounds like you do it too, in a different form.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. And too, I mean, to that point, you know, during when we go dove hunting, and if I know, you know, if I'm with my buddies and I know everybody that's out there, I let him break because I'm working on trying to shoot that second and third dove, and I don't want to try to remember where that first one went down. And then to go into duck season, I really have to get back with them on, and this is probably you know, really confusing for him, but you know, go back and do some more drills on setting this and making sure that it doesn't break. And it's kind of a you're working uphill because I just let him get away with it, which I know I shouldn't have done, but it just that's just kind of the meat dog mentality I had with him. But yeah, that you know, just making sure you're not getting into any bad habits, and then taking the time to specifically address them so that it doesn't continue on throughout the season.
You know, some guys will go so far as to have a different command for what I'll call for the give him slack version of whatever it is, or retrieve or steadiness or anything else. I like the idea of having a different word so that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't associate the real word with breaking the rules.
Yep.
Those things seem to, you know, at least work sometimes for some people. I'm still figuring it all out, but so is Flick, my 3-year-old. Have you figured out anything that always happens in the blind midway through the season that you really want to work on? Is it one thing? You mentioned whining earlier. You know, I think I'd have a problem with whining, but there are so many other things that could happen. Is there anything that your dog does that you wish he didn't do, say, come November, December?
No, I mean that's probably going to be the biggest is if you know if I get into a couple hunts that I'm okay with them breaking. And you mentioned the you know two different commands. For me that was kind of sit and stay. If I tell him to sit, obviously he's supposed to stay, but he might move around after a few minutes. But if I tell him to stay, that kind of was a different level. That means you're not supposed to move, and that would always help. I mean, you know, you mentioned ear protection earlier. He's the last few months, he's really started to not be able to hear me and kind of be more deaf. And so, last year, you know, I pretty much was just whistle and hand signals and not having to depend on any voice commands. I actually heard a good tip that I tried a couple years ago. I'm sure you've heard of it, but put some duct tape over your mouth for a training session and just try to communicate without words. Have you ever tried that?
I'll leave the duct tape for other purposes,
Yeah, I don't think I used duct tape, but I think I just tried it. I was like, okay, I'm gonna not say one word. Take off my sunglasses, and it's all about
I love
my
it.
physical movements and
Oh,
you know.
yeah. I mean that number one is a fun drill. I'd love to. I will accept that challenge, Addison Edmonds of Gunner Kennels, and report back because it comes up more and more. I interviewed a pro duck hunting guide a couple days ago, and he said the biggest problem we have is communication in the blind, and especially when the dog is out amongst the decoys, because we forget. We have so much in our repertoire in terms of communicating with the dog, but in the heat of the battle, we forget about hand signals or whistle signals, and we just scream and yell. Yeah, all of a sudden, especially with a dog that may have some hearing impairment, it makes all the sense in the world. Think about it. So I'm going to practice that. I will do that, and everybody who's listening, I'll report back when I've achieved some level of failure that you can make fun of. Hey, so
You know,
go ahead.
well, there's kind of two other things. You mentioned mid-season, kind of getting into late season, you know, and I mentioned I bring a bacon biscuit out there for him, but really keeping weight on him. You know,
Yeah.
towards the middle to the end of the season, I'd put as much bacon grease as I could on his food, and just make sure that he's keeping his weight up. And granted, I probably should have said this beginning. Everything that I've done is just from a weekend warrior standpoint. I'm not a professional dog handler. I've probably done it the wrong way, but yeah, that. And then when you're mentioning working with the whistle, I mean, there's two cool things that I taught him. One is if the bird is down between him and I, so basically come back to me, but come back slow because it's between us.
Yeah.
If he went too far, I would blow the whistle. Just his, you know, here was just beep, beep, beep. But if it's, you know, put your nose to the ground and come back to me slowly, it'd be a beep, beep, beep. And he picked up on that pretty quick. And that's come handy a lot of times. And then if I do have a collar on him, I don't really run an electric collar on him too much, but I keep one on him when we're hunting, because I taught him when you put it in just the beep mode, you just hit the beeper on the collar. I taught him a long time ago, that means come find me, come back to me no matter where you are. So that's come in handy when he's way far away on a really long line, and maybe we saw the bird fly off later, and so he doesn't know that it's not out there, but I would hit that beeper and he would come back to me. It's two good little pieces of communication that kind of happened into, but it's been valuable throughout the last few seasons.
Oh yeah. And boy, that last one, I remember when somebody pointed that out for the first time, I was kind of bedazzled by it. And I've since adopted it as well. And it works pretty darn good. It's wonderful when you can hear it and find your dog, but it's also wonderful because your dog can find you.
Right. Right. And I think it's meant to be a warning, but I didn't really agree with warning your dog. If you're not doing what you're saying, you don't need to warn them. But that's probably a whole different topic.
Well, that's just bad parenting. But maybe you know something about that, too.
To me, that's like counting one, two, you know, if your kids aren't doing what you want them to. And I've got a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. I actually just took the 5-year-old. I've been in the hospital all morning. She broke her wrist last night. So I've been in and out of different vet hospitals and people hospitals. But to me, it's if you tell them to do something and they don't do it, and you say 1, 2, 3, that's to me, that's giving them a chance and warning them that, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's a discipline that you don't want to give them that lever.
No, speaking of duct tape on your mouth, there are pro trainers who would rather put the electric collar on the human, and then when they give the command four times, crank it up to 11 and hit the guy with it, because four times is not enough. You know, you don't need to give a command four times, let alone count 1, 2, 3.
Right.
I'm warning you.
Or
as I that's heard right. recently with about a 4-year-old, I think that's inappropriate. I guess that's better than the back of a hand, but just barely. You are a lucky guy in many regards. You know, you're living the life, and you're doing something that is a great service to a lot of people. You're saving dog lives, and let's not pull any punches there. It has happened. So we love all that about you, but because you do what you do, you probably have a bucket list when it comes to hunting. And if you're really lucky, you're chipping away at it, one box after another. But where is the next bucket list hunt for the owner of Gunner Kennels?
That's a really good question. I never did much dry field hunting. I mean, I just grew up kind of hunting West Tennessee and Arkansas, and then went to college in Mississippi. And I went out to Kansas a few years ago and experienced just a phenomenal dry field hunt. And you know, I thought it couldn't get any better than that. And then I went up to Saskatchewan 2 or 3 years ago and was just like, this is insane. This is the Mecca. And so to me, that bucket, you know, the bucket list has been checked by going up to Canada with Gunner and just getting on 3 phenomenal hunts with him. And, I'm not like I'm not a species snob where I try to, shoot X at different species. I'll shoot gray ducks all day long. I just want the dog to have more retrieves. So I don't know. That's a really good question. I feel like I've been lucky enough in the last couple of years. I've been on just some unbelievable hunts with Gunner, with friends, and to be honest, just looking forward to getting back out there and hunting some more. I feel like I've already done a lot of what my major goals were for, you know, different style hunts. I would like to get out on the West Coast, and also I was supposed to hunt up in Maryland for the World Goose Calling Championship, and the weather is too bad, but those two hunts would be pretty cool, just because I'm kind of used to the central flyway, kind of just my area.
I know what you mean about the species thing. It can get scary sometimes, but lucky for us, we have all sorts of alternatives to that. You know, by the way, you're listening to the Upland Nation podcast. I'm Scott Linden, your host, and that is Addison Edmonds, the founder of Gunner Kennels. Learn more about them at gunner.com. I can't believe gunner.com was available when you got it, but good on you. All right, so you've been to Saskatchewan. You know, rumor has it they do things a little differently up there when you're hunting waterfowl. Why don't you describe a typical, you know, duck hunt in Canada?
Sure. So it starts a couple hours before daylight, and it's usually about 10 to 15 guys with two box trailers full of decoys. I mean, the spread of decoys they have to put up, and just the amount of brushing, you know, brushing your layout blinds and making sure that nothing stands out, and all that hard work up front. You know, you're sometimes scratching your head going, really, is it really, you know, that important to brush everything up? But then when the skies open up and there's nothing but ducks or geese, and we'll start calling at them, and they'll react just exactly how they're supposed to react and come and circle once and then dive down right on top of you. You know, it's hard to concentrate on which bird to shoot, really. That's the hardest part about it, is trying to just keep calm and just pick one, then two, and then hopefully three out. But I guess it's where they're starting up there, and there's more juvenile birds up there. But I mean, it's just a lot of good ducks, a lot of big geese, and a lot of action. Then you know, once you finish, you take a picture and clean up and go back to the camp. But just how close they get, and how, you know, I'm used to hunting in Arkansas or Mississippi, where a big group of ducks fly over and you call at them, they don't even acknowledge you, and you just think, wow, that'd be cool if they'd turn once. But up there, you know, we would hunt with TJ Millett. He actually went to Ole Miss with me, but he's like a world champion duck caller, and just to sit there and experience, watch him work these birds and how they will turn on a dime when he starts calling and come back in. I was constantly joking with him, TJ, you want me to start calling? You want me to bring him in? Because I mean, he is the best duck caller I've ever been around. So it's just cool to watch a real professional and work the birds and you know, have them come land right on the X where they're supposed to.
What kind of crops are you in amongst the fields over there?
It's different every morning. There was one I can't remember, just some bean fields and you know, corn, I believe. That's a good question. There was one that I wasn't used to hunting much, and it was some type of bean. It might have been I can't think of the name off the top of my head.
Well, I've heard peas.
Harvested fields.
Okay.
Yeah.
A pea field?
Some type of peas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're all, you know, they're all harvested, but you know, they do their homework and they figure out where they're landing and get permission and go set up right where they were the day before.
Yeah.
And, it's pretty cool to watch them work how they're supposed to work, at least how they do on TV.
Yeah. That's when you get nervous about your shooting abilities. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we've learned a lot about the company. We learned a lot about your dog, but tell us something we don't know about Addison Edmonds, the founder of Gunner Kennels.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have much time to think about me being pretty busy with kids and work, but I will say the last kind of piece of advice that I left out, just from my experience, and this started, you know, I could have, hindsight's 2020, but you know, Gunner always would jump up and down in the back of the truck all day long. He'd jump up the tailgate and jump down. And I've really started to see how much wear and tear that puts on him, you know, over the last couple of years. And so if I could do it all over again, I would make sure I was feeding him a you know, top quality food, but also not letting him continuously jump in and out of the truck. I think that's important just to get the longevity out of your dog.
I can echo that. Having dealt with broken toes, broken toenails, nothing more orthopedic than that. Knock wood. But you know, you bring up an interesting point, and I heard it recently again from another pro retriever trainer. who said, it's not just jumping down, it's the jumping up. That puts a different kind of torque on a different joint, and eventually that could be as big a problem as the jumping down part. So you're onto something there, Addison, and I'm glad you brought it up, even if it's not a deep personal revealing and possibly extortion worthy bit of information about you.
After I said that, I was like, well, I kind of dodged that, but no, I can't really. I'm just so busy with work and trying to come up with new products. We hired a new CEO in February, and he's really helped lead the company in much better manner than I could. But you know, for me, it's all about products, and we're going through and making sure our current line of products are as close to perfect as possible, and we're really working on a lot of new stuff. And between that and then go home and try to get 4 kids to sleep, I just don't have much time to think about it. But I don't know anything else to talk about.
Well, those are all good things, and good luck with the 4 kids, especially the one who just come back with a – do they still put casts on broken bones? Do they do that?
Yeah, no, she just had – she fractured her just above her wrist, so they just put a little what's it called, not a cast, but a
kind of a brace or something.
Good
luck with that. I'm sure it's not the first and it won't be the last. Addison Edmonds is the founder of Gunner Kennels. Learn more about that company and why I love their kennels so much at gunner.com. Always something new over there. And fun stuff too, from the Fit Finder quiz and an augmented reality app. You can even crowdsource the size of your dog box there. Learn it all at gunner.com. Addison, thanks for being a part of the Upland Nation podcast. It's a pleasure to speak with you. After a couple of years, we got to do this more often.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. It was fun. I hope it was somewhat helpful for somebody. I don't feel like I've got the right advice, but I just kind of talk from my experience.
Well, that's what matters most around here. Thanks again for being on the program, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, we're still going strong here at the Upland Nation podcast. Nice interview. Learned a lot about Addison Gunner, and invite you to get over there and take a good look at their stuff. You might learn something else there for you or your dog. And speaking of Gunner, as I mentioned, all of that stuff you can find there is at gunner.com. Man's Best Kennel. 1,200 five-star reviews. I think that says it all right there. And once you've gotten your dog crate act together, get your dog collar act together as well, go to dogtra.com. Worked with Flick earlier today, put one on his flank and went out and drilled on a couple pigeons. And he was steady because of the TNB dual system. 2 sets of buttons, no toggling back and forth. You got all the varied repertoire from tone to vibrate to beep to stimulate. It's all there, and each of the 2 collars has its own set of buttons. I love the vibrate function. Flick is a little bit soft, and so that helps a lot rather than the stimulation version. If you'd like to purchase anything from Dogtra at dogtra.com, use this checkout code, SLUN10, and you'll get 10% off anything over $200. Also, free shipping on anything over $200. That's a pretty good calculus right there. So check it all out at dogtra.com. Well, around here it's still fishing season, and I'm lucky enough to get a hall pass once in a while. Was out in Idaho last week having a good time wading in the steps of Ernest Hemingway on a very famous river out there. But while I was there, I couldn't resist and got to poke around a little bit for some chucker hunting. Going to clue you in on another spot you might want to explore in This Land Is Your Land, our public access segment. Once again, we have the Bureau of Land Management to thank for all of the public access we get around the town, such as it is, of Peekaboo, Idaho. Yeah, it's kind of out there near Sun Valley, and that's about as close a description as I can give you, but it's a little bit south and a little bit east of Sun Valley, Idaho, on Highway 20, State Highway 20. I was intrigued enough to go poking around on some of the back roads that are all in that yellow part of the map owned by the BLM. And there are several spines, if you will, of mountains going generally north, generally south, or the other direction, depending on where you're standing, that have lots of birds and lots of great habitat. So check out all the yellow spots near Peekaboo, Idaho. Get in good shape. They're pretty steep, but there is access. Just look around and see what you find near Peekaboo, Idaho. That public access tip is brought to you by HuntHuronSD.com, where the pheasants outnumber the people, and also by ESPAmerica.com. All your hearing protection needs right there, right now. Get fitted and tell me all about it. I'll be able to hear you because I did the same thing. Well, thanks first to Addison Edmonds of Gunner Kennels for all that hard-won advice. And hopefully some of it will apply to you, whether you got a pointer, a flusher, or a retriever, all three. Not in the same dog, I hope. Whether it's obedience, blind manners, something in the field, there was something in there for everybody, and I hope you wrote it down or made your dog listen. Give him a pop quiz when we're done here. I'm Scott Linden, your host here at the Upland Nation Podcast. I hope you'll tell your friends to listen in. I hope you'll rate us at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. All of those are places where you can learn more, as well as at uplandnation.com. Appreciate all of your attention. If you want to talk between now and the next podcast, we do it at the Wing Shooting USA Facebook page and the Upland Nation Facebook page. Getting close to hunting season. It's going to be a different one, that's for sure, but we're all getting psyched, and I encourage you to start, getting your dog in shape. Maybe it's one of your priorities, maybe getting yourself in shape. Whatever it is, hug your dog, hug your close loved ones, and I'll see you in the field this season.